at 6 o'clock. Be happy to call to order the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, June 5th, at the City of Rio Grande. Can we have a roll call vote, a roll call attendance, please?
Commissioner Martin?
Here.
Commissioner George?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Here.
Commissioner Mack?
Here.
And Commissioner Shiro?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. If we can please stand and join me in our salute to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is the point where we have and invite community comments and suggestions. At this point, there is nobody in the audience, so I'm not even going to open it. That comment period up and close it at this point in time. And then I'll just ask staff for any additional written communication, anything else that we did not get in our package that we're missing.
None this evening.
Very good. Thank you. I did miss the agenda review. We do have a fairly light agenda tonight. Is there anybody in the commission who would like to discuss changing the agenda as it's written or anything else at this point? Hearing none, seeing none, we'll just proceed as we're going along here. We have two items on the consent agenda. I'm happy to entertain a motion for approval for item 7A, the approval of the minutes, and item 7B is the resolution denying with prejudice the conditional use permit 18-001. Do I hear a motion?
I don't get that. I get only one item on the consent agenda, or is that two? Well, I'm looking at the wrong minutes. My apologies. I make a motion to approve.
Can I make a comment?
Let's get a second, then I'll be happy to let you do that. Okay.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. You have a comment?
I just wonder, how can we approve the minutes when they're bringing it back it's not a reconsideration, but the resolution. So if we're bringing...
The resolution is just a completion of an action that we've directed staff, but the paperwork wasn't involved last time. It wasn't in our
package. So we can still do this on the consent agenda, even though it was approved? I mean, the minutes?
I just had
some confusion about that.
Right. This is a procedural process. The resolution that was presented to us at the last meeting was for approval. Because it was voted down, procedurally, we need to have a resolution denying the project. And so this consent agenda item doesn't change that decision in any way. It just creates the appropriate paperwork documenting the decision that we made. In reality, I think it's going to allow the applicant to appeal to City Council should they so choose.
That's exactly right.
Memorializes our decision that we made at our last meeting.
Exactly.
And this is just a formality now
so
that we have the paperwork in front
of us. So the minutes document the meeting and the resolution is a procedural effect of that.
Okay. I just didn't understand how we could approve the minutes when the item came forward again, but I guess if that's how you want to handle
it. The meeting
it,
happened and that's how we document that.
I'm going to remake my motion to approve both consent agenda items 7A and 7B.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call for this item, please?
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner George?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
And Commissioner Martin?
Yes. Thank you very much. Both items have been approved. We have no public hearing items scheduled for this evening, so we'll proceed to the non-public hearing item. This consideration of capital improvement program for fiscal years 2018 to 23 consistency with our general plan. Can we have a staff report so we can understand what it is that we're looking at here?
Certainly.
Thank you.
Good evening, commissioners. I will run through tonight's item on the capital improvement program. I am joined by City Engineer Robin Dickerson and CIP Program Manager Jill. And they'll help me with any particular questions on some of the capital improvement projects. We're here this evening because every time we're approving a capital improvement program plan, we need by state law to bring it before you so that you can make a ruling or consider it for consistency with the city's general plan. So that's the purview, and that's the reason we're here this evening. So with that, I'll start. The city prepares a five-year program for capital projects. And as you know, some of these are bigger projects and some of these are smaller projects, and the bigger projects are often multi-year projects. So it's good to have the five-year program approved at once. The funding was considered within the whole city budget, but also in the purview of the local sales tax fund, because that was approved with specific reasons and purposes for the sales tax fund money. And neither is automatic. It's reviewed and reprioritized every budget cycle. We're in a two-year budget cycle. And the City Council just reviewed this capital improvement program and provided direction for cost and prioritization in support of the Council goals in their budget discussions and in their local sales tax review. So again, this evening, the Planning Commission is responsible for looking at the CIP program and its conformance with the general plan. And this is Government Code Section 65103. And again, I just want to emphasize the prioritization of projects, the schedule, the costs, the specifics with those programs. Well, fascinating, Jill. I just want to let you know that the purpose here is conformance with the general plan. We have our elements in our general plan, our circulation element, our economic development element, our housing element, all our elements, and that's the background for which you're looking at the CIP program. So that's why it's at the Planning Commission. So I'm going to run through some of the highlights from this past year. Very ambitious and good project this past year. Over 20 projects completed this year. Highlights included the Women's Center ADA accessibility project, the police mobile data computer in-car video system upgrade, corporation yard remodel, Strother Park play structure replacement project, Heritage Square Park restrooms, you were involved in that one, pavement management project, extensive pavement management program and project for this past year, and water well number 11, which has been a long time in the making. Some of the photos here for the accessibility project at the Women's Club. The computer in-car video system upgrade for the police department, a very big efficiency upgrade for them. The corporation yard remodel for the this phase of the remodel, specific to the locker rooms. The Strother Park play structure, very well received by community members. Heritage Square Park restroom. And pavement management, which completed, these are projects completed the previous year, and of course we're just about to start on the pavement management project for this coming year. And well number 11, this is the pump house located up on La Cañada. This was obtained by the city during the project approval for the Track 1998 project. Proposed projects for this coming year, $12 million over the two-year biannual budget, $24.8 million over the five-year CIP program. Large reliance on grant funding whenever we can get it, and Jill is a master at this. and, of course, local sales tax fund, and continuing to focus on maintaining current assets and infrastructure. And this is at a glance by function, so you can see the proportionality of the projects in terms of streets and bridges, stormwater, wastewater, water, city facilities, parks, and some miscellaneous program projects that need to be done here and there. So some of the more major projects, we are going to be updating our financial management software. This will allow a great improvement in terms of the city's handling of financial transactions internally and externally. Sierra Hillcrest Drainage Improvement Project, Lift Station 1, Forest, Maine. This is a huge project. It's been on our wastewater master plan, and we're very excited to be getting to that project now. Some sewer line and water line replacements, and the Traffic Way Bridge Improvement Project, which is now a full rehabilitation or replacement project. So the Traffic Way Bridge, as if we don't have enough bridge work going on right now, is in need of rehabilitation or replacement. This was previously scheduled as a scour project, and it has been reclassified. So this effort and this initial years will be trying to define the project, determine the ultimate design, and the initial stages of that. This is a drainage improvement project needed at Sierra Way. The lift station project that I mentioned, this will abandon a large segment of sewer line, and we will not need the line underneath the freeway anymore. This is, again, been on the horizon for some time, and we're very excited to get to this project. It was went on award, I believe. It was presented at the City Council not too long ago. Sewer lining. This will enable continuing use of our lines with new liners. And I just gave you a glimpse of all of those. Again, and it's nothing staff believes in our review of the CIP program is inconsistent with anything in the city's general plan. If I were to show you a picture of something like an airport or something just not in the city's blueprint or plans for the city, and yet we're expending a lot of money on it, you would raise a question there, saying, what is this? I don't see any consistency with our land use element, our circulation element, things like that. So, again, it's interesting to bring this program to you. It's always a very ambitious and important project program for the city to continue to maintain and upgrade where necessary the city's infrastructure. So it's goes hand in hand with ensuring that we have orderly development over time in the community, and that our assets and our infrastructure are maintained for our existing built environment and our planned built environment. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions, and if there's anything in particular on the projects, Jill and Robin can help out.
Very good. Thank you very much. Are there questions of staff on this project? Frank, do you have any?
I just have a question about the process as a whole, general question. So each department brings, I guess, a list of want-tos. When it says, and this is city prepares five-year CID, then who's the organizing person that kind of puts these all together? Would that be yours truly, or...?
No. it's the city manager. However, Jill is the CIP manager. She is the hub of the CIP program. Public Works Director nowadays falls within the Public Works Department mostly. Community Development has some projects due to engineering that have a protracted planning phase, like the Bridge Street Bridge project, for example, environmental phase to those projects, and so that's why we have some of those. Do you want to chime in?
We start off, I think, probably when we start the budget process, we rely quite heavily on our master plans. You may have seen them in the past. We have a water master plan, a sewer master plan, a pavement management. What it does is it evaluates our assets and prioritizes, has cost estimates and prioritizes the projects that need to be done. So we start with that. But as those documents age, other fires erupt and other things start to fall apart. So as a team, we hold a series of meetings with the city manager, the directors, and also the lead persons, for example, in Public Works, and review all of the projects that are in that plan and any others that may come up.
So it would be kind of almost by that committee that would, I'm sure there's things that come up that probably we just don't have, there's no way we can put that in the budget and we can't. So the prioritization of what needs to be done at the same time with what also we can afford, is that a fair statement?
That's correct. So okay. We start with kind of a wish list. We just put everything up on the board. See which, obviously, safety is going to rise to the top. And then we have two constraints. We have a constraint financially, and we also have a capacity staff-wise of what we can deliver.
Okay. And then just knowing some of the financial challenges that we're facing right now as a city, is there some – can you point to some specific things that you kind of wanted to do that you just had to go? We can't do that right now, or it is...
Oh, where to begin? I know one in particular that was on the list. It was addressing some roofing needs at City Hall. Definitely experienced some leaks in the 2 winters ago. We had a very wet winter, but it didn't make the cut. It didn't rise to the top, so there's one example.
Okay. All right. That's all I have.
One thing I did want to mention is we do always seek grant funding, such as the bridge projects. The other thing that we're looking at for the upcoming water line replacements is maybe bundling them and looking at financing, maybe through iBank or SRF that has very low interest rates for public agencies. Okay, it's a creative way to finance more projects.
Right. Thank you.
Was there something that triggered the Sierra Hillcrest drainage? Is there new development there? Or why? I mean, that's an older area. What generated this flooding issue?
The area up there is historically known to have bad drainage. It was annexed into the city without full curb gutter and sidewalk, so there's a lot of drainage challenges in that area. One in particular that comes down from Hillcrest and releases onto Sierra during intense rain events tends to jump curbs, the AC berm that we have out there, and flow down into people's properties. It's the one that probably keeps our streets lead worker up night the most when we do have large rain events, and it's been on the books, so that one is how it raised to the top.
So it's been on the books for quite a while?
Yeah.
There's no new construction out there that's generated this?
Okay. No, it was just poor design that we inherited.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes, thank you. On page 3 on the capital improvement plan funding summary, what's the special revenue funds? Where does that money come from? I understand the grants.
A sec, because I'm not familiar with the staff report and how the table was created.
Well, while you're looking, I'm going to just say, kudos to staff. You know, it looks like over half of the budget, looks like the budget's 24,763, 24 million. But over half of it, we're getting grants to complete these projects, and that's a good thing. And that takes a lot of work to get those grants and keep on that and keep that alive. So that's great.
It does, and I just want to call out Jill. She's, very astute to the grant-seeking world. she does a very fine job at ensuring that we remain in compliance with the grant programs as well as seeking new funding. And I believe the special revenue funds is indicated here as you'll note there's some water and sewer funds. These are enterprise funds, and this is all should be basically linked together as special funds or enterprise funds separate than our general fund.
I didn't realize whether it was gifts that are being included, or are they another type of grant program? Or
you know, I am at a loss at how that was created, so I apologize. I know Robin's pointed out that we have some donations, like at the Women's Club for the kitchen remodel. We've received donations. I'm wondering if that's the type of special revenues that is included in that line item.
And then as the projects are laid out in our report, are they in the list of, or are they organized in the prioritization of how you want to finish them? Or is there, or the one project that's listed on the last page, is that really a first priority, or is this reflective of the priority, the way you organized it here?
The way this particular CIP is organized, it's by grouping. So the first group would be miscellaneous projects. Those would be items such as our facilities, like I mentioned, the City Hall roofing. The next one is park projects, like the Strother Park large play structure that Teresa just showed a moment ago. The next is streets, drainage, and so on. There is no particular order. The funded projects are the ones that we can fund. Down below the lines are ones that were priorities that didn't make the cut, as we just explained a little while ago. The third piece of the project, I should say, that we do as a group, we just actually did yesterday, was once we have a list of projects, we look at how we're going to deliver them in priority order. So, for example, one may skip ahead because we want to construct it during the dry summer months, or it might be a perfect one to do during winter months, such as the lining projects, where you don't have to have an open trench or anything that's dependent on the weather. So it's
and maybe there might be some economy in grouping some projects together.
Exactly.
By using the same subcontractors, so there might be some efficiency there.
Yeah, we actually identified one this year. You brought up a good point. We have some corrugated metal pipes that are under the road that are deteriorating that we need to line. It's a very cost-effective way of lining the inside of the pipes, keeping it flowing without having to dig up the whole street. We did find an opportunity to also combine that with the sewer lining project over at Woodland. And so we're going to bundle about four different locations and try to keep it with the same mobilized contractor.
That's great. You're saying all the words I love to hear, because we're saving money by doing that, by bundling the projects.
With a five-year horizon, you do have an opportunity to look ahead and find ways to group. So.
Yeah. And then there's one project that kind of stood out in my mind, and I was going to ask, are any of these projects in the county as opposed to the city? I saw something going on the pike or something? A sewer line?
There was a sewer.
But that's not the city of Rio Grande. That's what I'm asking.
So the sewer that runs under the pike is our utility. And I think a couple years ago, the Public Works crew lined that, what we just talked about, the lining project. But there was an offset in a piece of that line, of that sewer line. So the city is going to have to go in and actually dig it up and make it straight. They weren't able to line that section because of the offset.
So none of those homes that are along the pike that are actually in the county feed into that line?
That I don't know off the top of my head.
Because I believe there does, because I recall doing a project off the Pike once, and I'm like going, well, why isn't the county helping or contributing if homes are actually tied into that line?
It's the Pike between Halcyon and Elm Street, and those are within the city of Arroyo Grande. Is that correct?
Yeah. I'm just looking for more possible ways that we can get funding for our projects if...
Oh, understood.
They're not 100% ours.
And that's, we do that a lot with the transportation projects through our regional transportation agency, SLOCOG. So, for example, if we have something on Halcyon Road with our complete streets, we're going to want to try to approach the funding agencies as a dual project, a multi-agency project. Same on Valley Road. There may be opportunity there. Oak Park Signal is another one.
So you might want to check on that one line.
I will.
I'm really curious on how some of these residential properties and whatnot are tied into that, going into that line. So, are any of these projects, I noticed that we saw some barbecues being replaced. Are any of this in an HOA already for an existing subdivision?
No, these are all on our public parks.
So they're all public parks and 100% maintained by us. Okay. And then a similar question, the East Cherry Main replacement. What's going on with that? Is that something that should have been part of maybe a developer contributing in the last project we approved out there?
I'm trying to find that one. Cherry's not ringing a bell to me.
It says East Cherry Main replacement. I was wondering if that we're replacing it because of capacity, or is it because the line is deteriorated? That would be, oh no, that 52 was the Pike one.
East Cherry, it's on page 64.
I had them circled.
Water.
That would be 5922 on page 67. Your project number 5922, phased main replacement, East Cherry Avenue.
So there are several in our water master plan that I mentioned earlier. There are, what it's done is identified needed upgrades. This is we phase them. We have water main replacements that need to be done, whether it's because of age, size, for capacity. That is one of the phases is on East Cherry Avenue, and I'm thinking that one is due to the age of the pipe.
Because sometimes we replace them because of capacity, and if it's a capacity issue because we're tying in another 100 units,
well,
maybe they should be paying their fair share.
Correct, and it is. If you look at the two revenue sources.
I saw that water.
Water and water facility. So what that is telling me is that it is probably a 4-inch to an 8-inch, for example. So that's why facility funds, which is...
So they're coming from facility fees. Okay, that's how I understand that. Thank you for clarifying
their
that.
Their proportional share, yeah.
And then a similar question was a couple pages back. It was 5781. It looked like is that Yard or Vard Loomis Properties Drainage Improvement? Is that a private project?
I don't know if...
5781. That's a drainage project. I just didn't know whether that's...
It's a drainage a problematic drainage spot in our right-of-way near the Vard Loomis in that neighborhood. And it's been in our plan to address, and it's finally come to the top. So it's being programmed in the next 2 years.
Where's the Vard Loomis
I wish I had a
tip like Sunrise.
Yeah.
It's not the one on Miller Way, is it? That's Loomis Track.
Let me see if I can find it.
Wasna?
Yeah, it's out
by Strother Park. There's the housing development just before you get to Strother Park. That's where Vard Loomis is.
East.
So.
East section of the city, and it's just been a...
I think I saw a picture with a drainage grate in there, but I wasn't sure if that was the Loomis.
Yeah, I don't have the picture of this one. Nope.
my questions. Sometimes these subdivisions or whatnot have sidewalks that need to get fixed and things that don't perform well. Are we looking at cashing in on the subdivision bond and actually doing some improvements or fixes? Let me give you an example. About 4 or 5 years ago, the city went through Berry Gardens and they started putting yellow paint marks on all the sidewalk that needed to be replaced because the root barriers weren't performing on the trees. And the trees were uplifting the sidewalk. So I know a lot of neighbors have been waiting for years for the sidewalks to be fixed. Some of them were fixed, but most of them were not. Are we using city fees to do that, or are we actually doing the subdivision bond and cashing in and fixing things if they don't fix it?
So I'm not sure about the subdivision bonds, but to address the markings on the sidewalk, about 2 or 3 years ago, we did a sidewalk assessment. It was performed, so it was all hands on deck. Everybody went through the city. If there was a displacement between, I believe, a quarter inch to 3 inches, they were marked, and they were logged, and we have an inventory, which basically acts as our master plan. So starting with that list, we identified areas of high traffic, and we started plucking those off one by one. We started in the village. That was the first one with the aggregate, the exposed aggregate and the tiles to eliminate the tripping hazards. And we moved on to Grand Avenue. This year we're concentrating on Halcyon because we have some grant funds to do a sidewalk gap closure. So why have we had the contractors in the same area? The city's paying for those. My understanding is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, if the sidewalk is damaged a couple of times by the same tree, for example, the public works director has the opportunity to review it and see if the tree should be removed to stop replacing the sidewalk in the same location over and over. One thing that I do want to mention is the ones on South Halcyon, we identified some areas that are up for perhaps future development, or they're already scheduled with a grant project. Those we avoided because we didn't want to put that on the development, not on the city's funds. But the subdivision, I'm not familiar with.
As far as the subdivision bonds go, at the point the city accepts the improvements, the bonds are reduced to a 10% maintenance bond. At that point, it begins a one-year maintenance period, and when the one-year maintenance period ends, anything that needs to be fixed within that 1 year is the responsibility of the developer. If he doesn't complete that, then the city can act on that 10% maintenance bond. If at the end of the one-year maintenance period the city is satisfied with the development, then that 10% bond is returned back to the developer. And at that point, the city has no longer any ties to that developer regarding bonds.
Well, maybe I'll take this up on a different action in our minutes here, but I think we need to change that. I don't think 1 year is satisfactory because you don't even see the landscape grow in for a year. And a lot of these trees, when they're not put in properly, or they don't put the root barriers, or the inspection goes on, no one inspects the root barrier when they're putting the street trees in the street right away. And you don't see the effects of it for 5 or 10 years down the road. And these trees are destroying our flat work. And what you're saying is the city's flipping the bill for that, as opposed to the developer who, in my opinion, installed it improperly, or their subcontractor did. So I think that needs to be increased to 5, 7, 10 years possibly.
Well, that would be a whole different procedure in order to get that, because right now our current codes only allow us to have 1 year annual maintenance.
Again, I'm just looking if there's other sources of revenue that can help pay for some of these things that are not. You know, it's not like there was an earthquake that took place or a flash flood or anything like that that destroyed the flat work. It was just trees growing and not.
Well, and also, too, our standards change over time, and we
we become more strict with our standards, which requires the developer to do more. And sometimes when you aren't going to see things for about 5 to 10 years, our standards could change, and maybe the rip barriers now exist where 10 years ago they didn't. So that's another thing that we're continually striving to change to help with some of the issues we're having with some of the developments.
Okay. Thank you.
That and street tree type.
Yeah, I knew there was a subdivision bond. I just didn't know it was only 12 months. I thought it was several years, and there's even a mechanism there for them to resurface the streets too, you know, some date in the future that was collected for that to happen as well.
Well, we exercise it on occasion in that 1 year. Something cracks and stuff happens during construction. We'll make sure it's repaired. So we have the opportunity to make sure, this is the importance of, having the ability to inspect, have good standards, and make sure it's built correctly. But we've learned, in terms of sidewalk damage, tree species, the type of deep root planters, barriers are very important.
Thank you.
Just wanted to add one thing to that, if I could, that we do also, as part of our capital projects, they all do also come with a one-year warranty. So if there's any defects in the workmanship or the product, the contractor has to come back within a year to fix that for their bonds. As a matter of fact, they will be fixing some off of the East Branch Street curve tonight from last year's pavement management problem.
So on that same note, I'm sorry, I need to interject one more time.
Go.
Normally a contractor's on the hook for 10 years when he builds a project. That's why I'm finding it a little unusual. Well, the offsites are only for a year after the project's built, when a contractor is supposed to be responsible for 10, SB 101 or whatever that is.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to share that the contractor is supposed to be on the hook for more than 1 year, and I don't think our policy follows suit.
Is this an issue typically would be handled by city council on a review on this kind of policy?
No, I mean, it's a good discussion. I'd like to research before I respond to that, and I believe it's the difference in contractors and the license and the type of projects, public projects versus private construction projects, but I'm happy to look into it.
Okay. Commissioner George, you have questions for staff?
I do. Page 3, it says fiscal year 2018 to 20. Is it supposed to be 2018 to 23, or am I not understanding that? If it's a five-year cycle, is that just a typo, or are we going to get another chart later on?
Let's see. I'm looking at those numbers, but the likely reason is that it's a biannual budget, so it's
okay.
The amounts budgeted are for the biannual budget year, even though it's a five-year CIP.
Okay. So the total five-year CIP is $24 million, roughly, and the total project budget is $56 million. So because that's a two-year budget, are we saying that within the next 3 years from there, we might be able to fund the full $56 million? Because they're currently, it's a total because it's currently including the unfunded projects.
Numbers wise, we'll check, but yes, that's the basic. You got the 5 year list.
Right.
We're going to chew off this amount for the first budget cycle.
Yeah, so yes. Currently for the 5 year, we have a certain amount that's funded, and that's what's showing in this.
That's correct.
Okay. Can you go back to that pie chart for me, please? When I was going through the general plan, the number one item that stuck out to me was safety. And then when Jill was speaking, and she was saying when they sit down and they prioritize, the number one issue that you look for is safety as well. So of these of this pie chart, can you tell me what percentage addresses safety?
I don't have it broken down by those numbers or by that category.
Mm-hmm. But you can put safety into several of these, the majority of this pie chart. Certainly streets and bridges, you'll understand the safety reasons for maintaining adequate infrastructure. Bridge Street Bridge Project, even while that's funded, but we need to get our maintain our loads and safe bridges. Stormwater and flooding, absolutely safety. Water and wastewater, you know, public health and safety.
So of the different categories that are in the general plan, do you take a look at each category and try to prioritize that each category get a certain amount of funding, or is it really just an as-needed basis? And so if, let's say, safety is 100%, then all the other categories get nothing. Is there a way for you to make sure that all the categories are addressed?
Well, you'll see the CIP program broken out into certain types of infrastructure categories.
Yes.
And each of them really have a safety component to that. But as Jill explained, we start with our master plan. So our wastewater master plan, for example, had this lift station project in it for quite some time. And those master plans program out, we need to do this by 2020. So it's really those master planning documents. When we approve those, we look at the general plan when we're approving those.
Right.
Then the urgency issue is a safety issue, frankly, as Jill mentioned. It's either programmed precisely in the master plans, or oftentimes we just don't have enough money to do everything precisely on schedule and when we want it. And we'll start prioritizing what do we really need done first. And safety is a category that's the lens through which we look for prioritizing that.
Okay. Those were my main questions. Thank you.
I have a couple.
Yes, go ahead.
On the resolution in that third paragraph down where it says each project listed as part of the CIP will need future authorization and environmental review. Who's that go before for authorization prior to the actual funding and construction?
So each project, when they're ready to be constructed, for example, or purchased in case of the purchase, we'll review if it needs any environmental clearance. Most of them fall under a categorical exemption, and I sign off on those. Some of them need more extensive review, and those, if they require for example, a mitigated neg deck, we'll bring that to you for approval. We've done that before with Bridge Street Bridge, for example. So when the projects are construction ready or ready to purchase, we'll review those for any CEQA compliance issues. And at that time, we award the project, for example. Before that or at the same time, we'll bring forward a CEQA document.
I have one. Let me find it, or you go ahead. But there's...
I don't have any questions. I'm ready to entertain a motion. But if you have another question, I'm happy to.
I just have to
look for that before we proceed.
I made note too. Now if I can't find it, I guess it's not that important. I was just wondering if when it was that area over off of Halcyon Road, it looked like it was broke down into 3 years on that project from. Dodson and Rena and that area over there, wouldn't it be more cost-effective to do it all at one time versus breaking it down over the 3 years, or do we just not have the funding for that? And I'll continue to look.
I'm not sure if we're talking about the Halcyon Road Complete Streets Plan, which was broken down into four segments.
No, not the street.
Or if it's a particular capital improvement project.
Well, I wrote it in bullet red, so I should be able to find it here. Replace existing 4-inch pipes to 8-inch pipes on South Halcyon Road between Cornwall and Oaks Avenue. And then the next one is Cornwall Street to Halcyon. And then I think the other one was Fair Oaks to Elm Street. And it's broke down into three separate amounts, $431,000. 716 and 536. Is there a reason for breaking those out? Is it because of the funding for those? That you couldn't fund for the whole project at one time?
Some of the projects are too large to fund in one single year. This is out of our water master plan, and basically what the water master plan will do is it will phase the projects in the way that funding comes in. We establish our rates to our users based on these, so we want to do a consistent cash flow. One of the things, though, that I mentioned earlier is that these phased-type projects that we've been doing to keep the society a huge increase over a year is to try to bundle them and maybe finance them, and there would be an opportunity to consolidate those. But as they are now, we've done them in a way that you can do a little bit every year to try to keep the funds from being too large of an increase or trying to bite off more than we can chew with the funds that we have.
I was just interested or concerned that if they were all bundled together, would it be less expensive than the individual way they're being processed?
We believe so. So as we get into those third, fourth, and fifth year of the CIP, that's something that we'll be working with our finance director on, is financing opportunities to try to bundle them instead of phasing them, especially with the interest rates the way they are right now. It would save on mobilization costs, staff time, consultant design fees.
Okay. That was my only question.
I'll make a motion.
You may.
Okay. I move that the Planning Commission of the City of Aurora Grande adopt a resolution finding that the capital improvement program for fiscal years 2018, 2019, 2022, 2023 is consistent with the Aurora Grande general plan.
Second.
Discussion. Any additional discussion?
Yeah, I would just like to tack something onto that, being that to have the findings for CT5, which is, I believe, our page 2, coordinate circulation, transportation planning, future collector. That's the item I'm on. Where it says request county and contribution to major street improvement projects. That if the county, in fact, is using that sewer line, that they be requested to contribute.
So moved.
We need to second that addition, that clarification.
Second the clarification.
Not seeing any other discussion. We have a roll call vote on this.
Commissioner George?
Yes.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
And Commissioner Martin?
Yes. So resolution passes. The next item is just the notice of administrative decisions since May 15th. Are there, we got an extra slip that gave us a little more detail on these for tonight's meeting. Are there any questions for staff on on this or any clarification from staff? Are you just ready to answer questions from the commission on these items?
Ready to answer any questions.
Very good. Are there questions on any of these administrative decisions that were made since May 15th?
I just have a general question regarding the vacation rentals. I see that we have a lot of them on here. How is the city handling the increase in vacation rentals as far as monitoring them and making sure that they are complying with all of our regulations?
We are fielding any neighborhood services-related complaints through the Neighborhood Services Department. We haven't received a whole lot still yet. So far, so good. We are starting to get now folks coming in with applications too close to each other with our current rules and regulations, and so we're having to say no now to some folks just because we're getting more, and we have that concentration limit in the ordinance.
Thank you.
Any other questions on these administrative items? Seeing none. Commission communications, any other comments from any of the commissioners before we close our meeting tonight?
I have one, and I don't know, maybe I should have brought it up when on this other item, but I didn't happen to see James Way any place in the budget for the surface of the road out there. It's in such poor condition. I didn't see it listed any place in resurfacing or repair.
It's getting the primary portion of pavement management funds for this next cycle, pavement management cycle. And it's just probably in there as pavement management, but for this next go-around, it's really James Way.
Is that good? It definitely needs it.
Very good. Thank you. Any staff communications?
We have two large circulation-related projects coming forward, kind of hitting at the same time. This would be our Halcyon Road Complete Streets project and our Briscoe Road Interchange project. So the Halcyon Road Complete Streets plan is a plan at this time, but the urgency is to maintain opportunity for a grant for that project, a big ATP grant, a very big opportunity. So we really want to bring that forward. Meantime, of course, you know, the Briscoe Road Interchange project is also the environmental circulated. We're addressing comments, so we're going to bring that forward too. I may be contacting you for dates if needed for a special meeting. I just don't know yet. I'm just bringing this to your attention. They're hitting at the same time. I really like to have at least one joint meeting with you and the Traffic Commission on one or both of those projects. So sort of just a heads-up comment to you coming your way. Two very important projects. One, trying to complete the PA and ED process, project approval and environmental determination project for the Briscoe Interchange project, and the other is Halcyon Complete Streets Plan, which we worked with, big stakeholders group, but we have this opportunity and deadline for an ATP grant, so we want to see if we can get the plan approved and the application made for the ATP grant. So.
Do you see that like July, or do you have a guess on that?
Yes.
Okay.
July. Might have a joint meeting late June with you and the Traffic Commission, if possible. So any vacation schedules, if you can shoot them our way that you know of, we'll try to do our best to make sure we have full quorums.
Very good. Thank you. Any other comments? If that's it, our meeting is...
Just a couple of questions. Yeah.
Oh.
Please.
Go ahead.
The budget meeting last Tuesday night, I got a little concerned because some of the line items there is, you know, down staffing. Is that a reality now? And my concern here was one of the suggestions was, okay, no more ARC, HRC, and then I see two cancellation notices now for ARC. Is that because of the budgets, or is that because we don't have any items on the agenda?
Cancellations, existing cancellations, were no urgent items, scheduled items necessary on those meeting dates. So we just, that was the reason. We will be, the council will be considering the budget on June 12th, and we anticipate adoption. So once that happens, then we'll have to try to figure out a way to live within the budget means as adopted. And yeah, that will be an impact on staff. Certainly the planning staff, planning department are going to be down staff, as well as some, as well as police and public works. And we are trying to strategize the best we can in terms of how to deal with that. And we will be bringing some sort of item to the council regarding some of our committees and commissions. I don't know exactly what that looks like yet, but nothing will happen automatically without further council consideration, and that will happen after June 12th.
I guess that was my question. Is it something that's going to be phased in over time versus retroactive right after the decision or the gavel hits?
Yeah, at this time, I'm thinking phased.
Okay. It'd be nice to be able to prepare for that because you guys are going to be inundated. And then I kind of feel we're going to be losing a part of the quality that we have here in Arroyo Grande if we don't have some of those committees. And then whose responsibility is it to look at the architecture review or the view shed and this, that, and the other thing? Or is it now going to be the responsibility of the Planning Commission? I think we want to get the heads up ahead of time so we know how much we need to start really diving into some of these other things.
Yes, very understandable. Staff's feeling similarly. We will try to keep the Commission updated on that item as we, if its budget is approved as projected on June 12th, then we'll be looking at that, and it will impact this commission no matter what, because you will probably have more in your purview in your review of projects and programs that come before you.
And the second half of that question is project will probably still be requiring architectural review. Does that mean that this body is going to be doing architectural review? Possibly?
I couldn't say at this time, but that's a possibility, but yeah. Don't have any set plan for that at this point.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I just really encourage that Planning Commission get involved in some of the things that City Council is reviewing right now, because it's going to impact all of us as a community and us as a commission and staff. And the real numbers, they're really trying to juggle the finances. And it's going to start hitting us, and we should be aware of it. That's all. That's my comment.
With regard to that, I've been to three of the budget hearings that were at City Council, plus the Fire Safety and OCSD's budget hearing, and there are some real financial problems that are coming up. So this next meeting on Tuesday the 12th is a really important meeting. If it's available in your schedule, that would be a good one to attend, because this is be the fourth time that the council has reviewed the budget. On a lighter note, I went to the Memorial Day service at the cemetery, which was very nice. It was just really rewarding. I go every year, and I think it's just a nice way to show your face in the community with all of our senior servicemen, and there's so many there for that. So just keep that in your mind for next year. It's a very rewarding
And every year it has increased in participants and people. They do a free barbecue afterwards at the Lions Club. So it was a nice program. Just wanted to commend them on that and encourage you to go next year. That's it.
For those watching, and whether live or on tape, is a good encouragement to stay engaged in the civic activities in these tight financial times here facing not only our community, but small cities and big cities across the state. So with that being said, on that happy note, this meeting is hereby adjourned. Thank you.